Blog Talk Radio.
This is All About Wine, the talk show dedicated to the wine industry since 2009. Featuring winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert, Ron.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is just trying to educate people and trying to make wine less confusing and more friendly.
From coast to coast and around the world.
You know, we really have had some neat people on the program. I love that.
Post your questions and comments during the live show on our Facebook page at www.facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr. Again, that's www.facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr. And now, All About Wine is on. Here's Ron.
Thank you, Buffy. All right, they're happy and they're hot. Boy, we're getting some hot, muggy weather down here right now. Although I saw on the news that it's supposed to break up this coming Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, I think. We're supposed to get 60%, 70% chance of rain. The heat dome that's been setting over us since, 1989 or something like that, supposed to move out, and there's a bunch of weather down over the Caribbean right now that's supposed to be moving up, and so we're going to get rain next week. And so we may have a wet All About Wine next week, so the bus people might think about taking shelter, make plans right now, and hopefully that rain will break the weather a little bit. But we got this what we call a moat behind the house, and it's usually about four and a half feet deep. It's about 3-4 inches right now. It just almost completely dried up. It's just unbelievable. I've never seen it so low. So we can use the rain. Yeah.
For sure.
Last week I said we have no holidays or anything coming up. I'll tell people about and all. And we do. We've got Father's Day coming up, next Sunday? The 16th, which is, a week from Sunday. And also the first day of summer, the 20th. D-Day is today, victory in Europe. And the 19th is Juneteenth, which is celebrated more here in the United States than it is in Mexico. It's a Mexican thing, but it's celebrated more here in the United States than it is in Mexico. And I think the United States government actually has it as an official holiday, Juneteenth. The vet clinics, I got a notice that the vet clinics are going to be closed. So they only close on official government holidays. So I don't know. Maybe the Juneteenth is now an official government holiday. Who knows? So hope everybody has been taking my advice and listening to Flightline Radio. It's on 24/7. You can stream it into your earbuds as you're playing with your computer and checking out sites and everything. Just go to flightlineradio.com, and that's line, FLIGHT, line, LINE, radio.com. And you can just turn it on and listen to it while you're doing everything else. But if you want to hear Mike, then tune in Saturdays from 10 to noon. And he entertained you with 2 hours of requests and different musics and tells you information about stuff. And if you want to request an obscure song that you haven't heard in a while, he has this uncanny ability to be able to find those things. So flightlineradio.org. And then right after that is a repeat of this show. And then after that is a broadcast of the 1st and 15th is Cap Kaplowitz and his partner Phil get on and talk about nothing. Not unlike the Steinfeld show when it was on. And but it's hilarious. It's fun. They just ramble on, and it's an interesting hour, give or take, that you can listen and get a chuckle or two out of that. And then we can't forget his DJ he has on at 8 o'clock, 8 to 10, who plays 80s music. And not only does he play 80s music, but he also has 80s advertisements and 80s information and really interesting stuff there. So, Flightline Radio, if you have not checked it out, do so. And
thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. I always think about Flightline Radio as we're going goodbye, and I'm going wait. I'm gonna, you know, but I remember. I remember today to get it here, and so I can get everything I want to talk about into it. So there you go. We are April right before the show. Mike and I were probing in such a bad month for us. April started out the first couple of weeks, I think it was, we had problems with Blog Talk Radio. They were not connecting us, and when we did get connected, we weren't able to get calls in, and it really became a hassle. We lost two or three guests into March, first of April, because of Blog Talk Radio issues. And then I got bit by my cat on the back of my hand, and I missed a couple, 3 weeks there, too, because of that. I was in the hospital for a week, and so we lost some. And April was packed full of guests, end of March and April. And they were all very understanding. We're starting to book them back now. We're starting to get them scheduled. Next week we have Jessica, who was previously booked. In 2 weeks we have Kim from Korea. It's when we talked to Stephen Castles, he said that Kim does a lot of Native American grapes there and all that. And so we'll see what's going on with her, with American Native American grapes in Korea. Also, I'm very curious about what other wines they're doing there and about all the wine scene in Korea, if you will. It should be an interesting show. I've never seen any Korean wines on a wine shelf, so this should be fun when she's on in a couple of weeks. And then I'm talking to people who are part of the California Sustainable Wine Alliance, and we're going to be booking them probably within, well, if not the 20th, in July sometime. So we're starting to get the guests back that we have lost. We also have another guest. If you remember Stephen Lane, he was on a year ago, a year and a half ago. I remember the name, but and I remember him, but my timeline is just destroyed in my head. I don't know. But Stephen Lane had written a book called Dragon's Vine, and a very interesting guest. I really enjoyed him. And he's now has a new book out. And we're going to have him on as soon as I read the book. I always like to have a chance to read the books before we get authors on. So he should be interesting guest. He'll probably be on in July, sometime, some week in July. So we've got a lot coming up here on All About Wine. So stay tuned with us and hang in there. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about. We've got information for you every week. So
I've got Stephen Lane. He's a wine scholar, author, restaurateur, and hotelier. I don't know if it's sommelier.
I don't know. Whatever.
Is it like sommelier?
Sommelier hotelier. Well, I don't know.
He was on June 30th, 2022.
Wow.
I didn't realize it was that long ago.
I didn't either. That's what I said. You know, a year and a half. I didn't realize this 2 years. Wow. Well, yeah. You know, he had that time to write his book. I mean, I think about it.
Yeah. That's true.
You know, I guess books don't write themselves. And so. He's had time to write his book. Speaking of books, Italy in a Wine Glass, we talked to Mark, about his book, Italy in a Wine Glass. Interesting. He was, he's in England, and he and his wife have been very prolific in their authorships of books. They've been writing books since, what'd he say, the 1980s or something like that? But Italy in the Wine Glass is the latest one, and it was the one that he went into a lot of history, and then he talked about wines in the region. He talked about a certain region and the history of that region. Really, really fascinating. And I didn't get a chance to read the whole book. He sent me a copy, and so I've been reading that book, and it is fascinating. If you want to know any history about Italy, I mean, it's a wine book, but it is full of history of Italy and the Romans and monks and all sorts of stuff. He did a wonderful job of research on that thing. It's just fascinating. And then he talks about wines in the region, and then he gives some samples and stuff. But it is really, really a fascinating book. So, Mark, that's driving me crazy now. What's Mark Millen, there it is. Okay, yeah. That's a very good book there. I highly recommend that one also. If you're, I enjoy reading, so these things are always fun, and especially about wine. These are, but good history, good background on that thing too, leading up to the different regions. So, a lot of people coming up. Got some good shows coming up on the show here, and some good information coming on. Anything on your end you want to bring up before I start jabbering?
Everything's good. Yeah, just
tune into your show. Okay, that. You know.
That too.
Yeah. Okay. I've just got some information for you tonight, different things that I've seen this week, talked about and all that before. But I just saw a question here. This is from Wine Spectator's Wine IQ. It's things. Throw them out. Just if you don't know, you will know. If you do know, then you go, oh, okay. A word, vertical tasting. You may have heard that. A vertical tasting is a tasting spanning multiple vintages of a single category of wine, usually a specific cuvée or specific wine from one producer. So you can have a multiple or a vertical tasting of Cabernet Sauvignon from Beaulieu Vineyards in Napa Valley. And they'll give you a tasting of a 2000, a 2004, 2008, a 2012, and to show how the different vintages change and how they taste because of weathers and stuff like that. Vertical tastings are really, really a lot of fun. Vertical tastings give you a chance to see how weather does affect the wine, how droughts and heavy rains or whatever can affect it. And so if you ever get a chance to do a vertical tasting at a winery or something, by all means do it, or have a party and have the people coming to your party pick a winery, any winery. Have one person bring a certain vintage, have someone bring another vintage, and spread it out over 3 or 4 years and taste them and see the difference in those too. So those are fun. Those give you a chance to say how weather and things affect it. And if you do a vertical tasting of a certain wine, you call the winery, tell them you're going to be doing a vertical tasting, like some information on the wines. They will be more than happy to talk to you about it. Wineries are always very good about that. Question that was asked on this also is, Dr. Vinny, if you get Wine Spectator, you may have seen that. Dr. Vinny is a wine person. Somebody asked about sustainable wine, biodynamic, and all that. He said, in response, he said, there's plenty of sustainable and green initiatives happening in the world. And he said, it's probably more options now than ever. Wines have been treated with pesticides and other chemicals, and now they're starting to realize it's not good for the present health risk. And they also impact the environment. So they're avoiding chemicals. Organically grown wine is those that have not had any type of extra stuff added to the ground or anything. Organic farming does allow copper and sulfur sprays. Okay, so, you know, that's something people don't understand. They do allow those, but it prohibits any synthetic chemicals. And organic takes it one step further, and only approved materials, no sulfites can be added during winemaking, although sulfites are a natural byproduct of wine, so there's a little bit of sulfites in all wines, but small amounts. It's not really much. It's under 10 parts per million, so it's really rather low on that. But we were going to be talking within the next month, I'm not sure what date, to California Organic Initiative and find out about all this stuff, a little bit more detail for all this stuff. Blind tasting. This is something we just talked about, vertical tasting. How about blind tasting? Blind tasting is a lot of fun too. You don't know what the wine is. You don't know what the grape is. You don't know the vintage. You don't know the age. You don't know anything about it. You are poured a wine out of the bottle wrapped in a brown bag or a cloth bag or whatever. You can't see the label. And it's a good way to examine the wine on its own merits. You look at the colors, you smell it, taste it, all this stuff, and you identify the wine by the characteristics it's supposed to contain. Blind tasting. Fun, educational, and really, really enjoyable. Again, get a party, bring a bunch of people, tell them, grab a bottle of wine, and put it in a brown bag. And so you don't get a bunch of the same wines, too. You are the host. Call up Jim and Jeannie and tell them to bring a Cabernet, and then Bobby and Sherry and tell them to bring a Merlot, and, you know, spread it out among the different people so you have different wines. You're the only one that's going to know what it is, but you won't know whose Merlot it is or any other information, and have everybody bring in a brown bag and then do a blind tasting like that. Really, really a lot of fun also, and educational, very educational, so you can see the different wines and how they present themselves and all that. Well, I used to do, years ago, I did a lot of blind tastings. We had a big group out in California, and we used to do blind tastings every month. Did it for, 3 years. Every month, get together with a blind tasting, and it was great, educational, learned a lot, and it morphed into snacks with it, and then a little bit more heavier snacks. And the last couple of months before, well, actually before divorces and job changes and, you know, people being moved out of state, stuff like that, ended the last couple of months was full meals with the wine, which it had advanced beyond the original concept, but it was still fun. So, a blind tasting, if you get a chance to do it, then by all means, try to add that to your future parties, your summer parties. And you can go with white wines, too. You don't have to go with reds. White wines are just as interesting as reds when you start doing blind tastings or vertical tastings. Oh, excuse me. Okay, what is this? All right, here we go. Talk about this a little bit. Last week I mentioned to you that I found an article about de-alcoholized wine. And it said de-alcoholized wine is better than ever. And two experts weigh in. Interesting article. It was a long article. No, I don't want to subscribe. It was it was written in vague news online vegan newsletter. So it leaned toward that stuff. And it was interesting. Said health conscious and the sober curious movement. Sober curious. That's new to me. I've never heard of the sober curious. I don't know how to define that. It opens up a whole bunch of different definition possibilities there. But the health conscious and sober curious movement are influencing people to reduce their alcohol intake or to eliminate it altogether. This was interesting. It says, in the United States alone, the non-alcoholic beverage market was valued at $280 billion in 2023. A fast-growing sector of this industry is non-alcoholic wine, which is currently valued at $1 billion and expected to double to $4.9 by 2032. Wow. And it's non-alcohol. Now, you got to realize, like it said here too, different iterations of the alcohol's wine tasted like grape juice. In fact, I used to tell people that when I had the winery. They said, you make non-alcoholic wine? And I'd say, you go down to the store and buy yourself a can of Welch's grape juice. And they'd laugh, and I'd laugh, and I'd go, no, I don't make non-alcoholic wine. But it's starting to become really a thing now, more so than I would expect it, to be honestly. The process of making alcohol in wines, where you convert the sugar in the grape into alcohol, that's basically it. And wine is, whoever knows, is a beverage that's made without the sugar being converted, resembles grape juice in flavor, and it cannot legally be labeled as wine. But they say here that there are some excellent non-alcoholic wines. They talked about this one couple, Patrick Bayer and Katja Berneger, wanted to make super high quality wine that is non-alcoholized. And so they started to do it. And the couple did a mass tasting of 20 different non-alcoholic red wines from around the world, and they said they were disappointed by every single one of them. So, the Zeronimo Leonis blend, Zeronimo Leonis, Leonis. Zeronimo Leonis blend 2021 was a non-alcoholic wine, and it received a 98-point rating. 98 points. It says this non-alcoholic version was made with a native grape. Now, these people are from New Zealand, and this I think this Vague News is a New Zealand-based publication or article or whatever you want to call it. It's not United States, it's New Zealand. But they use blends of Blaufränkisch, Zweigelt, and Cabernet Sauvignon grapes from wines that were sourced more than 70 years old. They let the wine age for 2 years in new French oak barrels to develop it. So they actually did put some effort into it. They said that they don't see this as an alternative, but actually as an expansion of the wine range. Basically, the science behind it, okay, is very simple. Actually, the maintain qualities in de-alcoholized wine, and this is a quote from what's his name here? I just said it, and I forget what it was. Patrick said to maintain qualities in de-alcoholized wines and to preserve the authentic, noble aromas of high-quality wines, you must begin with a wine that is rich and complex in flavor and also full-bodied. Makes sense. Patrick employs a vacuum distillation and a patented aroma recovery method to achieve this. In a vacuum distillation, the wine is placed in a vacuum environment, allowing the alcohol to boil off at a low temperature of 80 degrees Fahrenheit, which is really pretty low. The aroma recovery method then extracts flavors and aromas from the removed alcohol portion and reintegrates them into the de-alcoholized wine. The initiative and patented method used for Zeronimo wines takes 3 to 4 days and involves a very complex process. He said, in order to maintain the maximum wine characteristics, the process does not involve the addition of sugar or other additives. So, that's basically what it is. The intensity and aromas and the richness of wine flavors that can be preserved with such methods are unbelievable, he says. They pride themselves in not using any animal-derived ingredients, which he says his wine is vegan, which not all wines are vegan. And this is something I'm always wondering I won't get into that. But he says these wines, because they are vegan, pair well with plant-based food, which would be all food, I guess, for vegans, plant-based. They suggest the Zeronimo Sparkling Select will go great with cold cucumber salad, glass noodle salad with tofu, crispy vegan spring rolls, and warm sweet potato salad with vegan feta. I'm sorry, I'm just not salivating over that description. I'm sorry, I'm not vegan, I'm a meat eater. It says, especially the reds can offer unique, exciting ways from their alcoholic counterparts. The finish stays longer and leads you to the next sip. It is just a bit more cold and bitter than the typical warm flavors. The mouthfeel is more refreshing rather than warm, and also has middle body rather than full. So I guess if you're looking for those, that's going to show it there. That's on the reds. The Boulder Zeronimo Linus blend pairs well with vegan pizza and pasta, pulled mushroom wraps, salad with fried chickpeas and a miso eggplant with sesame rice. Okay. The non-alcoholic industry has taken off. These shopped around. They're saying that about the only place in the United States right now, there is the owner of Ocean Beach Brands and Ocean Beach Cafe, which is a bottle shop and non-alcoholic bar in San Francisco, owned by Joshua James, has offered the non-alcoholic wines from Zero Nino, and says that the evolution of non-alcoholic is an opportunity that will explode. He said he started to see a trend during dry January in 2021. Now, dry January. I heard it was dry February, so that's I'm not sure which one now. Not unlike a lot of stuff in the wine business. People tend to make up different ones, but he says that the trend during dry January, you got a lot of people trying the non-alcoholic wines. So he said the quality improved by 2023 and they began to offer a wider variety. He also suggested that there's over 100 restaurants in San Francisco right now that could probably use the non-alcoholic wines, but are not stocking it. The sparkling wine is also non-alcoholic. They make a sparkling wine that's non-alcoholic, which is, interesting, to say the least. In addition to the Zero Nemo wines, they have a few other favorites, including Prime Pave, P-A-V-E, Studio Knoll, N-U-L-L, and Sauvie Reserve, S-O-V-I, Sauvie Reserve Red, which is a 2018 Tempranillo blended with a 2021 Cabernet. So, non-alcoholic, they're saying, is really catching on now. It's not a trend. It's going to be around. It's going to be around forever. You don't just pull the alcohol out and say, here, this is non-alcoholic. This is what we're offering. They did it right, I think. If you're going to have it, you need to make it wine and pull the alcohol out. And there has to be a method to pull it out without losing flavors. What they do is they put the flavors basically back in. They pull alcohol out and use the flavors, alcohol, to put the flavors and all this depth back in. So, maybe good. If you have any, as always, I tell you, email me if you know any or have tried any of these non-alcoholic wines or something, then let me know what you think. I don't particularly look for them because I've always thought that, well, Welch's does a much better job at no alcohol in wines, and so I'm not going to worry about, trying to find non-alcoholic wines. But if you do find any, if you do find ones that you find interesting, you want to talk about it, want to try it, then let me know, and I will go out and see if I can't find one myself. Who knows? Maybe I might find one that I do enjoy and that is worth my time. Okay. So much for that. Let's see what else we got for you here. Something else I saw, and I was along that same line as the non-alcoholic wine. No, I don't want to sign up. I'm already signed up. They're talking about rosés and the new trend now of making rosés lower alcohol with more acidity, more of the acid type bite and lower alcohol. So it gives you a good flavor profile, but it's low alcohol. You've got the wine color and the acid, and because of the trend now out there of lower alcohol, it's got that. And the question on this article is, are they lower quality? Are these as good as a rosé that's a little bit higher in alcohol and balances out that acid? And basically the article says, yeah, they're very good now. But again, the wineries are coming out with some great wines. 9% alcohol by volume is very common in a lot of rosés now. And they're not fermenting it fully dry. They're keeping that little bit of sugar in there, but the acid tends to cover it up a little bit. And so different wineries are cutting back on that acid. Now, here's something else, though. Gerald Bertram, who makes a range of rosés from soft, fresh, and affordable ones to his super premium Clos de Tempel, which is a barrel-aged biodynamic rosé at 14.5% alcohol by volume. And that retails for more than $200 a bottle. Whoa, I'll let you get back, you know, to the show again there. That sort of knocked everybody over, I'm sure. $200 a bottle for a rosé. You're thinking, how can a rosé be that good? But they said they keep as much freshness in it as possible. And it's made to be drank in the first year or year and a half after harvest. It's what you're looking for. The lower alcohol rosés are going to be a little bit higher in acid, but they're still going to give you that freshness, that little bit of sugar bite, or sugar taste, a sweetness to it. I shouldn't say sugar taste, sweetness, a little bit of sweetness to it. And it's an interesting approach. The one with 9% ABV is not fully fermented dry, so it's still got that little bit of sweetness to it and all that. But to answer the question at the top of their article, is lower alcohol rosés lower in quality? No, definitely not. There are some really good rosés out there. I don't know if it's a $200 rosé, but there are definitely some good rosés out there. Okay. Let's see. Something else. We've got some wine things going on this summer here. One in Pennsylvania. I'm always talking about California. Let's go to Pennsylvania. I say up because everything in the country is up from here. Liberty Wine Fest, to include some central Pennsylvania producer that features Sapper Ravi. No, I don't want to subscribe to this. I'm sorry. That includes Sapper Ravi and Pinot Noir. And it's the inaugural Liberty Wine Fest. This is one of several festivals that the Pennsylvania Wine Association has planned for this summer. And this one's going to be this Saturday, 11 to 6. So if you are in Pennsylvania, check this one out. It's 11 to 6 this Saturday. And the first Liberty Wine Fest that the Pennsylvania Wine Association is putting on. What do? They block me out of this unless I subscribe to it. I don't want to subscribe to it. I just want to talk about this article. Okay, so I'm trying to promote it, people, and you won't let me. But Pennsylvania, if you live around Pennsylvania, check out the Liberty Wine Fest. It's going to be going on all summer, different ones, different places, and all that. Oh, here's Catatonian region, Penedès. I think this is in Catalonia. Okay. The Pinatas region, Catalonia, it's been in a severe drought alert for much of 2024. They were hit by devastating hailstorm on June the 1st, 6 days ago. It devastated an estimated 1,200 to 1,500 hectares of vines. Hardest hit areas might not see any grapes in 2024 because they've already, it was that time of year which it just devastates the vines when they get hail this time of year. Another bad weather event. They said some of the vines were hit so hard it just stripped them. The only thing that was left was just the trunk standing up. One runner says he's looking at about 7 million kilos of grapes, or about 5 million euro loss because of the hailstorm. So, that's sad. I hate seeing that. I really do. I hate seeing weather impact an area like that anywhere in the country, or in the world, rather. Not a good thing. Let's see. Oh, if you are a Dolly Parton fan, let me give you quickly on this. Dolly Parton unveils Dolly Wines, which is her first ever collection of wines in partnership with Accolade Wines. So she's went in partnership with Accolade and came out with their new Dolly wine. You can go to www.dollywines.com to find out about it. It's Dolly Wine California Chardonnay 2023. Let's see. And any others? I guess that's the only one she's coming out with. Oh, here we go. Features three new varietals also, Chardonnay, Rosé, and a Prosecco. And a fourth sparkling launched in Australia in September under the Dolly Parton label. And the Rosé and Prosecco will be released in the fall of this year all across the United Kingdom. So I think these are already being released here. Pre-sale orders will start shipping June the 25th. So that's on Tuesday. So if you're into Dolly Parton or Accolade Wine, Accolade does a decent job on their wines. They've been around for a long time, and they are very good. Dollywines.com. Give that a check on that and find out what's going on there. Let's see. Okay. That does this page. Let me let's see. I've got a couple other things. Castle Ridge Winery. I haven't talked about them in a while. Summertime, good time to visit Castle Ridge. They are located in Iowa, southeast of Des Moines. And go check them out. They have all sorts of stuff going on there. They got a big variety of wines, and I don't know. I guess they're doing full tastings again now. I'm not sure. They have a wine dinner and murder mystery coming up on July 13th, which is day after tomorrow. No, next week. Next week. The 13th, yeah, next Thursday. The reservations need to be in. Oh, July 13th, yeah, that's a month. This is only June. Reservations need to be in by July 11th. They got a casting reception at 6 and dinner seating and show and wine at 30. So, the cellar bill will be quiet this week. Let's see. I guess they're still into, I can't read it. I guess they're still doing full tastings. I'm not sure if you have to have reservations for tastings or not. Okay, here we go. Cedar and wine tastings are available at the winery by reservation only. Seated wine tasting. So I guess they're not doing, you know, stand at the bar doing wine tasting, just drop in anymore. I guess you have to make reservations for a seated wine tasting. You check out their Facebook page, Tassel Wine Winery .com, and they'll you can find out all the stuff there. They're located at Leighton, Iowa, again southeast of Des Moines. And pretty neat winery. I've been there. It really is an interesting little place. Beautiful little building, vineyard all around it and everything. So check that out. My engineer just brought me in my wine du jour, our wine of the day. We are having a Translations Syrahs. Where is this from? This isn't. Translation Syrahs. The expression of a great wine transcends language barriers. Translations wines clearly express the flavors and aromas your senses will fully embrace. Colored and full-bodied, our Syrahs boast flavors of strawberry and ripe red fruit. You enjoy the silky smooth tannins and long warm finish. Pairs nicely with hearty red meat stews and pastas. Bottled by J. Garcia Caron. Where? It's not in the United States. Avila de Murcia, Spain. Here we go. Okay, it's Spanish. Okay. Imported by CIV Inc. in Miami, Florida. Contains sulfites. Products of Spain. Red wine. Government warning for us here. And they even got the date it was bottled on it, too. They want to be sure they check all the boxes shipping it here to the United States. Jumilla, Jumilla. I guess that's the name of the winery on Jumilla. Dominican de origen Portuguesa. Syrahs, let's give it a taste and see what we have here. Oh, that's nice. Berries. Strawberries. I'm getting some strawberries. I'm getting some fresh berries on that. Did they tell me I should taste strawberries or smell strawberries? Yeah, they did. How about that? And I did. Boy, that's unusual. Actually smell what they say. Good strawberry. Nice dark color on it, too. They say it's dark. It is a good dark color. Not for those of you in the legs. The legs aren't too bad. There they come. Slow, thin legs. That's pretty decent. Nice aroma. Again, never judge wine in your first sip, always your second. That's good. Tannins. There's some decent tannins there for Syrahs. You don't expect them. I wonder why they call it Syrahs. That's interesting, because the only place in the world they call it a Syrah is Australia. and yet this is bottled in Spain, and they're calling it a Syrah. So that's an interesting look at that. Nice finish, very, very nice finish. A little warm. You can taste the alcohol in the finish there. That's not bad. What? How much alcohol was this? 13% alcohol by volume. So not particularly high, I would say, but you can taste the alcohol in the finish. But that's nice. That's a nice Syrah. It's got some good body to it, good mouthfeel. The flavors give you some good dark berries in it. The strawberry that comes out, the aroma is very subtle in the taste, but the darker fruit, plum, comes out a little bit on the taste. And the red fruit in the taste that you can get a hint of in the aroma. Very nice wine. Jumilla out of Spain, Syrahs. Interesting. Very good. She waited late to bring that in to me, didn't she? She's afraid I was going to drink it all. Okay. Bottle sizes. Let me run through this quickly for you here. How big are the bottles? People have always talked about different bottles. Now, this is not the standard half bottle. This is the little small ones. If you go and buy yourself a 4-pack of Sutter Home wine in a little small carrying case, those are about spritz size. Those are about a glass size. And that's 1,875 milliliter. Then the next is what they call a demi, D-E-M-I-E, demi, 375 milliliter. And not really half bottle. It's the list. Then the next is Jenny, J-E-N-N-I-E, which is 500 mil. Then the standard bottle, 750 mil. Now that's your standard one bottle. 1.5 liter is a Magnum. Two bottles. A double Magnum is 3 liter. Four bottles. Makes sense. A Jeroboam, J-E-R-O-B-A-M, Jeroboam, 4.5 liter, that's six bottles. Then the Imperial, 6 liters, and that's eight bottles. Imperial, I don't think you can find here in the States. I think that is a British or UK, European Union type size. I don't think you can get that in the States. Next one is 12 bottles, and this is the Salamanzer, S-A-L-M-A-N-A-Z-O-R, A-R, and that's 9 liters. Next, Bethesar, B-A-T-H-A-Z-A-R, Bethesar, and that's 12 liters, that is 16 bottles. And then, the biggest bottle that is actually made use is a Nebuchadnezzar. And N-E-B-U-C-H-A-D-N-E-Z-Z-A-R, Nebuchadnezzar. It's 15 liters or 20 standard bottles of wine. Now, when you start getting up to these great big bottles and all that, too, they usually don't carry them out and pour them into your glass. What they have is carriage rack of little thing. They set it in, they tilt it forward, and it swings forward, and it's got a balance on it so it doesn't fall over, and they fill up a decanter with it and stand it up straight, and then they pour from the decanter, and that's a standard way they do the bigger bottles. The Salamanzer, the Balthazar and the Nebuchadnezzar are all usually put in one of these racks. So that is bottle sizes for you there that you may or may not be interested in. But, you know, next time you're at a restaurant, ask for Nebuchadnezzar and they'll say, "I'm sorry, sir, we don't carry that here." Okay. I was going to talk to you about holidays, wine holidays, throughout the year. I don't think I will. That's going to take longer than the actual time we have left here. So I'm not going to go into that. I'll say that for a couple of weeks here because we have a guest next week. Let's see what wine holidays we do have coming up in June here this next week. I see today's the 6th. Rosé Day is the 8th. And 2 days, I think, maybe not, I don't know. Because this is the problem with holidays. Rosé Day was told to me. I spent about 3 hours this couple of days ago on the computer trying to find wine holidays and different ones. And I found a whole bunch of different sites, and I'm looking at them. And one of them said Rosé Day is the 8th. And then another one said Rosé Day is the 13th of June. And then another one said Rosé Day is the 4th Friday in June. And then another one said it's the 2nd Saturday in June, which is this Saturday. So I don't know. I don't know which one is Rosé Day. It's either the 8th, the 13th, or the 28th. I suggest you have Rosé all 3 days. And then that way you're not going to miss any particular one by accident and not drink your rosé on Rosé Day. Sunday, World Verdejo Day. That's a grape. World Verdejo Day. If you can find a wine of Verdejo, V-E-R-D-E-J-O. Then that's what you should be drinking Sunday. And then Monday is Drink Chenin Blanc Day. Or that's the 8th is Drink Chenin Blanc Day. So either this Saturday is Drink Chenin Blanc Day or Pastry Rosé Day. Or Monday is Drink Chenin Blanc Day or Rosé Day is the 13th or the 4th Friday in June or the 2nd Saturday. And also, Monday is Durlif, D-U-R-L-F, Durlif Day. I didn't write down any definition or anything to that. Before we leave, let me look that up and see what that is, D-U-R-L-F, D-U-R-L-F. Nothing. T-R-I-F, possibly? I'm going to have to... Oh, D-R-I-F. There it is. D-R-I-F. That's Monday, Durif Day. It's another name for a Petite Sirah. Petite Sirah. D-R-I-F, that's what I get for using a marker-type pen on my glossy calendar here. It spreads out. It says, does a Durif taste the same as a Syrah? The Durif is now the most prolific in Australia and California, and it thrives in warmer climates and is similar weight to Syrah. Durif pairs well with rich, high-fat foods like casseroles and meaty pastas. It can be cellared up to 10 years. Durif is a fuller-bodied wine with firm tannins and is the child of Syrah. Oh. Okay, so that's it. How do you pronounce Durif? Let's see what the pronunciation is. Derif. Okay, there we go. I got you. Heard you the first time. That's enough. Okay, Derif. It is not Derif. Okay, so that's a different grape than the Syrah. It's not just our Syrahs. It's not the same grape. So, Monday, Derif Day, and also Chenin Day, maybe. And Saturday is Rosé Day, maybe. But next Thursday, before the show, Rosé Day, maybe. And then Sunday, World Verdejo Day. So, that's what's coming up on the holidays for wine this coming week. I will go through more detail on these wines because what a pain it was trying to find holidays. And you all, you just saw the issues I went through here trying to do something because of what they do with them and how they broke them down and all that. So, all right. There's some other stuff I want to cover, but our time is limited today, so we will end it there and look forward to our guest Jessica next week.
Yeah, we'll put the show in and let everybody know. Tune in next week, next Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, live right here on Blog Talk Radio and all the other places you mentioned. And we'll see you then. Have a great weekend coming up. Be cool, stay hydrated.
Yeah.
And, it's brutal. We'll talk to you all next week. Have a good one, and thank you for tuning in.
Have a good one. Thanks for listening. Be safe.
Thank you. Here we go.
This concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine with your host, Ron. For show information, links to All About Wine on Twitter and Facebook, or to be a guest on this show, visit the show website at www.allaboutwinebtr.com. Archived shows are available for download on iTunes or on our show page at blogtalkradio.com/allaboutwine. Thank you for listening. Drink responsibly, and we'll see you next time on All About Wine.
All right. That's it.
Screen.